Okay, hello everyone, and welcome back to another season of Raw Talks, our podcast that has been alive for multiple years now, seasons on and off.
Yeah, it feels like a Netflix series. Every season has a new theme, a new setting, a new story. And I think that's pretty much what we're going to talk about today, you know, like all the changes and things that happens. And yeah, I think the podcast also represents it in a very well unnarrated, like unwritten narrative way, you know, that we can really just share our story, where we're coming from, what we're doing, and how that reflects what we do in the business as well.
So we have, Living with the Spirit has been alive for 8 years now. And we've spent 4 years in the city and then 4 years at the farm. So we've done a Spirit 1.0 and 2.0, and now it's 3.0. So we've, would you want to do a little bit of a recap?
Yeah, sure. We came to Thailand 8 years ago, or about
eight, and you came 7 years ago. Yeah. So the business is 7 years old.
7 years old. And we landed with one idea, like normally you do, right? Like you go for one idea. So we sold off everything we own, got rid of everything. And we had one idea to set up a retreat center with a business partner. And when we landed, we realized, wow, we're on two completely different timelines. This person wanted to start way later than us. So there was no ill intent, or there was like no drama. It was just like, wow, this did not work out the way we thought it would be. So we moved to the city and we started doing some workshops with what we know, the skills that we had, and people liked it. They started to gravitate towards us. And you said, we need a place to be, you know, like we need a proper place. So that's where the house came into the picture, that we rented this big, beautiful house in Chiang Mai. And people wanted to stay with us. So we started with retreats and classes and one-on-one sessions. And then we all know, you know, 2 years, the world kind of closed down. So we had to gear up the business and go more towards online trainings. Still did retreats, but a little bit different. After a few years in the city, we felt that there's only a certain level of grounding you can reach being in a city environment, because there's so much distractions, there's a different energy. So we kind of moved to the farm, which was the 2.0. Was more immersed in nature, a little bit larger, a very different experience. And it allowed us and the participants to go very deep. And then a lot of changes has happened throughout the years, but we also came to the point where, you know, it was time for a new chapter. Like we felt it within us, circumstances changed that kind of, I don't know how you would put it. It's like life just like this way. And it was a little bit trepidatious in the beginning, but then like, no. It's time for 3.0. So that's really why we're here today, because we're launching the 3.0. And that's kind of how we started also with a new season of Raw Talks, that we relaunch Raw Talks with a new season when we have the 3.0 in a new location and with a different energy, a different intention than we started.
So the topic for this episode is, how did I manifest that? Or how did I manifest this? And just that statement says that something happens. And I mean, you all know that I'm a big advocate for manifestation, and that my very strong belief is that we are manifesting 24/7 all the time. And whatever we are calling in is something that is, we are calling in everything that is resonating with us and that's going to bring us forward on our unique path. And what we are attracting is what is already inside of us. So if we are attracting challenges, that's life's way, the universe way of giving us what we need to grow. So if we've been through the most intense year and most challenging year yet on our journey, that means we called that in somehow because we want to grow. And I mean, I can only speak for myself, but the communication that I have with the universe and with God is that I'm here to expand, I'm here to grow. And I guess that I've been calling in the challenges myself. I mean, you probably have your version, you know, that you, what you're pulling in, but it is something that we manifest for ourselves, the good and the bad. And one of the things that we've learned over the years is to really use the challenges as opportunities. So when these kind of bigger challenges happens and the bigger, contractions, that means it's also going to come with an expansion. So even though the first response might be that, oh, maybe the first response isn't, how did I manifest this? Maybe the first response is, why is this happening to me? Is this happening again? When will it end? And so on and so on. And that is when we are rejecting the change, rejecting the challenge, because we don't want to experience the negative emotions or the challenging emotions or the fact that maybe I need to look at myself and change something. Because every single negative experience is here to give us a reflection of who I am, and this situation is showing me what I need to do to take myself to the next step. So when life kind of throws you curveballs, the biggest thing is to be able to look at that and how can I turn this into a lesson the quickest way possible? And that is the mentality together with grounding, mm-hmm. and the nervous system work that we've been doing that has been the key element to this situation.
That being said, this 3.0 kind of felt like, yeah, let's do bungee jumping. And you know, you set up all the gear and you do bungee jump and you stand on the ledge. And when you're about to jump, someone takes the bungee jump off you, put a blindfold on and said, no, you're gonna jump with a parachute. And you're like, no, I signed up for a bungee jump. What's this? Yep, 3, 2, 1, go. So even though we talk about the principles, when it actually happens, it will rattle you. And I think from what you said, wanting to go to another level, if you do a 2.0, 3.0, 4.0, whatever it is, that means you're going somewhere where you probably haven't been before. And there will be new challenges, there will be new situations, there will be new dynamics. And when I look at change, I think a lot of it is not wanting to hold on to things, right? Like not wanting things to always be the same way they are. And I used to tease my father when he started to get gray hair when I was younger. And I said, you're getting old. And he said, you get old when you stop accepting change. When you start saying it was better before, why does this have to change? I'm not going to change my way. And you tense up. That's when you start to age, and that's when you get old. Because the only thing you can actually trust, or the only thing that you can be certain of, is there will always be change. There will always be change. But if it's not always easy, but that's the point, you know, the change is supposed to create a challenge for you to come into something new. It's supposed to be a challenge for you to grow to something new. And then that's where the reward or what you're manifesting or your purpose is. It lies on the other side of that.
Yeah, because when you ask for things, when you ask for something more, something bigger, something greater, the universe doesn't send you it doesn't give you what you want on a plate. It will give you what you need to grow into the person that can create whatever it is that you want.
It will give you a map, an obstacle course. And by the time you finish this obstacle course and you manage to read that map, you know, that's when you will have. But it's, what's that saying? You know, like you ask the universe for blessings and it says, no, I will give you life, and you will choose what to see, what's a blessing and what's, it will prune you, you know, it will trim you, it will create circumstances for you to grow into who you need to become, or who is that person that will receive that thing, which whatever that is. It's, you know, like winning lottery, for instance. If it happens like this, you're not really pruned to become that person. So most people that win money, for instance, on lottery, statistically wind up with more debts than before, even if they win millions. Even the great ones, you know, in the States, when they win like hundreds of millions, they wind up in a deficit because the nervous system can't handle it. The person they are can't handle that capacity. They don't know what to do with it, and it happened too quickly, and they weren't prepared. They weren't built into that character that they needed to hold space for that new transformation to happen. So that's being said, you know, like you get the challenge to become the person that will manage the task or fulfill the purpose of that goal that you're actually looking for. And I think that's a big part of the challenge, that what you said, you know, like, wow, why is this happening? Not again.
So it's been a little bit of that, but what is it that has actually transformed? What would you say that, let's say, because now we're talking theory.
Mm-hmm.
So if the theory is that you asked for what you want, mm-hmm. and life gave you a challenge, and now you're coming out on the other side, what is it that you learn? What's new? We're talking about this new energy, and like what's new for you?
For me, it was a lot about leadership. I did a reel about that not too long ago. And when I say leadership, I mean self-leadership, but leading with confidence, leading with direction, clarity of what I want. Because if I look at it historically, you know, I've always been a great second in command, following everyone else around. You know, the strong father, a strong brother, and it was very easy to follow, and so on. So that's kind of how I learned my position in a pack and in life. But that mentality, that capacity will only get me to a certain point. And that's also what I notice, you know, that agency and taking charge on the things that I want will be what I need to go to the next level, not just kind of supporting everything else to happen to wind up in that place. It's actually taking that charge in different aspects, in different manners. That makes sense.
What I see in you is that what's left is a much, much stronger discernment and a very strong belief in what you do, and a very strong knowing in what's true and what's real. And it's like the situation has invited us to release a lot of the fluff of the, it's like when something burns, it's just the core that is left. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
So what did you learn during this process about that?
Balance, I would say. When I came to Thailand, I mean, I was personal trainer, martial artists. I mean, I came like super yang, super testo, like, you know, lots of muscles and everything. And I went into a very deep yin space. I lost 10 kilos. I, you know, gained fat, lost fat. I went up and down a lot, and I went very deep into the yin space for my own healing, but also for healing with others. And what I'm finding now is the balance to come back, not being completely there, because when you're completely in that space, it's very easy to be susceptible to directions or influences and so on. It's less certainty and clarity within yourself, which means your path will kind of be a little bit like this. I want to do this, but what about this? Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I want to do this, but what about this? Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. But that clarity and sense of direction comes from a balanced yang. And that's what I'm feeling. I was very deep into the yin space for my own healing, for the practice. And I still have a connection to that, but a deeper connection in the yang space as well, not to be fully lost in one aspect and not fully lost in another. So balance is what I feel.
So you went from yin a little bit more. I mean, I feel we're definitely, because we shifted locations. We're in a new location also. So we're no longer at the farm. And the farm was very yin and very peaceful. And the place that we are now is even more peaceful, but it has a little bit more yang. So I feel that it's a very interesting combination, because both you and I go in a little bit into our yang practice. And what I feel is that what was left after everything kind of burned down is the super strong core belief in what we do, because it's our practices, the nervous system work and the somatic practices and the outlook and the belief system works, like everything that we teach has been our single most helpful support during this time. So I feel I went deeper into our own teachings and our own practices because I realized that's what works. It really works. And I knew that I knew that. I mean, we've done 8 years of retreats. There's so many people coming through our doors, and we see what works, and we work with people on such a deep level, and we know what works. But then, you know, the roles are kind of reversed, even though we have a very strong practice and we do our stuff, but then we had to really apply it again, because the depth of our self-healing, it's been a couple of years since it was that deep. We are constantly working on each other, working on ourselves. And I mean, we help each other a lot. But this was different. So it's like we had to come back almost like a client to oneself and realize that the nervous system work is the key and the body connection is the key. So it's like everything that we've been studying, because we came on this journey together. Yeah, I came 8 years ago and you came 7 years ago. But our quest has been for freedom and emotional liberation. And those practices is what takes you there. And it's so incredibly humbling to experience that for oneself in real time under pressure and realizing I knew it was the gateway, but that knowing just exploded like 100 times more. And on a personal level, I feel like I was really able to go deep into some of the stuff that I had unprocessed, so I could really shed that away. And what was left was I stopped even a new layer of people pleasing. I came back to my voice. I'm getting so much stronger in my conviction of what works and what doesn't work and what the teachings are and what they do for people and what they do for ourselves. And it feels like everything just cleared off. And it's like the wind came and it just took a lot of things that I didn't need. That's how it feels. But it was disguised as something difficult. But on the other side, it's a gift. Because the level of uncomfortableness that whatever situation is coming with is going to be equivalent with the results that you can have on the other side if you decide to. It's almost like we're back in the dragon year description, you know, when the dragon comes with this strong energy and it comes with an invitation to change. This is exactly the same. Because it's an opportunity for growth if you allow it to become an opportunity for growth. But then you got to go outside of the comfort zone.
Yeah. And I mean, coming back to 0.0, you know, Living with Spirit 1.0, it's like you have to go on your ideas, your experiences, what works for you. And of course, any kind of interactions you do with other people or collaboration or anything like that, you always meet halfway, you know? There's always a synergistic component to working, to collaborating. And we have collaborated with people for many years, rehab centers, hotels, private industry, all kinds of different backgrounds and companies and so on. And I think the main thing is to really find a good fit that feels good and to not forget. Someone told us the other day, what was that? Not forget the DNA of what made you who you are, you know, your practice. Because it's very easy to go into a situation and think that I have to throw away everything I know and then I'm going to start doing something new and all of these things that we might think when we step into a new arena or a new collaboration or something like that. And what I feel we've been shown over and over again by the results in ourselves and the people that we work with is really that the grounding in the nervous system work is a fundamental key that, you know, I've even seen in people that are very well-versed in different healing arts. If you don't have that component, if you're not interested in that component, you can still be great at what you're doing. But there's a certain point of view, there's a certain element, there's a certain depth which is unattainable if we don't work with the nervous system, if we don't go to that point. And I'm much like anyone else talking definitely about me, you know, coming to Thailand. I had all these modalities already coming here, all these skills studied with, you know, world-leading experts, meeting them, personal mentorships with them. You know, my ego was here. I know all of this stuff. And I hadn't done the nervous system work. And I got my ass kicked, like literally. And it still happens with upgrades. Like it really just smashes you. And I think the knowledge of the nervous system, when you can start to see it, it gives you a lot of space, opportunities for growth, compassion, anger sometimes, but it opens up the pathways in you that's holding you back from going to where you want to go. And when you start to understand the nervous system, for me, it became less of law of this and attraction and abundance, which I believe in, but it became very tangible, right? Like you can scientifically prove what's unresolved in you, in your nervous system, your subconscious mind will drive you to a similar situation for you to have a chance to discharge that energy, to do something new. And if you completely block to that and you don't believe it and you just continue to hammering, you're going to burn. You know, I don't know another way to say it. And like, I don't want to say my way is the right way. No, that's not what I'm saying. There's thousands of ways of doing it. But if we don't get this principle and understand that principle, we are going to burn very, very hard. You don't have to understand it the polyvagal way. Explain it however you want to. But if you don't understand it, the repetitive circumstances that happen over and over again for you is an invitation to clear that energy to move on to something else. And that still happens to me at times, you know, not too long ago, right? It still happens, but that's the invitation. And if you don't want to embrace that for yourself, chances are high you will be stuck in a trauma loop or a coping mechanism loop or whatever we call it. And that's what I find a lot of people, even their high-level practitioners or coaches and so on, because it's very hard to spot on your own, especially when you've done it for a while. It's very hard to spot on your own. And, you know, your defenses might be high and you don't want to look weak or anything like that. So when we came here, we didn't know anyone. And we didn't socialize. So people felt very safe with us because we could give them that space. And that's how we realized, oh, that's the value of the work we bring. And that's the value that is for ourselves, you know, this platform to explore something without judgment, without blame, shame, or guilt, where you can honestly just look at yourself and kind of go, wow, okay, I don't have this figured out. I have some growth to do here.
But everyone has, you know, yes. There's not, you can't come to a point when you say, oh, I'm done. You know, that's not how it works. That life, you will grow until you die. You get invitations from the universe to grow until I'm pretty sure that, you know, until the end, you will have realizations and insights, because I think it's such a strong thing to experience. And we're not built in any other way. So we keep growing. And if we want to become something more than what we are in this moment, it's the growth and the challenges and the invitations from the universe with all of these things that makes us grow. So, and the way it works in the nervous system is what Simba said, that if we have something unprocessed, we are subconsciously calling that in. And that's why we say, how did I manifest that? Instead of saying, why did it happen to me? Poor me, or whatnot. But the quicker we can come to the solution of what is it inside of me that I subconsciously draw this in so that I could grow. If this is happening for me, then this is something positive, right? And the only way to kind of get us out of the comfort zone is to squeeze us and to contract us. So the quicker we can surrender to that, and that is what we've been doing all of these years, because it's, I mean, we are aiming high. We are aiming big. I'm 47 today, and I've been on a very deep personal journey for the past 10 plus years. And even before that. So if something happens that gives me a big challenge, I can't really be pissed off about that, because, you know, be careful what you wish for kind of experience. So of course it's difficult, but if I have the tools and if I have the attitude and if I have the belief in myself and belief and the trust, then things start to become very, very different. And there are people that has been questioning us in the fact that, oh, aren't you supposed to do something else now? Aren't you supposed to talk about something else now? Aren't you supposed to do things in a different way? But that's not really possible, because I can only do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm here for growth. I'm here to show up. I can't allow a situation that is challenging to knock me to the floor and not get up again. I mean, then all of the things that I've been doing the past 10 years has been for nothing. That if like, oh, no, that was too much. No, that was too much. Let's all of the things that I've been through, and then it gets hard, and then I go, no. And I mean, that's not really my style, and it's not really what I'm here for, and it's not who I am. And what I teach is to come back to oneself and come back to the truth and keep sharing and keep living in your truth. Because if you also want to do something, you need to show up and you need to express who you are and express your truth. And the quicker you can come back to that, the quicker you will heal your nervous system. I mean, there's so many studies on how the nervous system works. And if you're in a challenging situation, the absolute most healthy thing for the nervous system in the long term, if you are experiencing something challenging, is to take action and to start taking care of yourself and make sure you get out of the blue zone and get into remembering who you are, remembering coming back to oneself, and then work from that point. I mean, there's so many studies on people, how much trauma they get from certain challenging situation, depending on how their nervous system reacts. If you go into the freeze, you get more trauma. If you manage to pull yourself into action and actually work your way out of your situation, then you bring things up from the root, and that's when you heal whatever is unprocessed that you started to draw in from the get-go. So how can I do anything else than coming back to what I know and what I truly know? Like truly, truly, truly know. Because the amount of time, I mean, the short amount of time it has taken us to kind of recover and get our boots on the ground again and find our center is 1,000,000% the work that we've been doing the last couple of years. Because if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have been able to find myself back, find the way back to myself so quickly. And that just proves the point that we had in the first place.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it's really, there is so many ways to describe this throughout history in all kinds of philosophies and lineages and cultures and so on. And whenever you mention certain names, you say, oh, that's just woo-woo, whatever. But regardless of which culture you're looking at, regardless of which religion you're looking at, science, you can see science as a belief system. I'm not saying it's a religion, but it's a set of belief systems, right? And you always come back to opposites, you know, polarities. Some say yin and yang, some say plus and minus, this pole. And when you start to have a balance with these energies, you create a momentum within yourself and with everything around you. So if you're too much into one aspect, that I don't have a drive, you know, I'm too, I don't like to say too soft, but maybe too open, too vulnerable, then it's hard to get a momentum. If I'm too hard, then I'm going to burn myself and everything around. So you need to find a balance in that. But when you look at challenging situations, it's being able to see which resource do I use at which time to move through this, right? Like on a personal note, we saw an animal the other day that got hit by a car, right? And we sat with it until it passed. And the passing was really a relaxation. That was going into yin space. That was not a yang space, you know? It's not like, I'm gonna die. that's not what happens. That's the complete wrong approach, right? Because you're fighting something that is happening. Now, this might be like a drastic example, but it is something that's gonna happen to us. I'm gonna fight it or I'm gonna accept it. Some things I can push through and clear energy, and some things I'm meant to relax and just dissolve, just burn and shed layers, and then whatever is left is gonna move. It's gonna allow me to move forward. So in this instance, the animal dying sat there comfortable, relax, it's your time, relax, and then just look like something falling asleep, right? But if you're in a traumatic situation and you really need to stand up for yourself, the way to clear that energy is to take decisive action. If you can, there's no blame, shame, or guilt. There's many times where we can't, where it's not safe. That's perfectly fine. We're just talking about what can clear energy and what leaves less amount of imprints. And I think what you were alluding to was a story about a kidnapping that happened in the 50s or the 60s in the States, right? They kidnapped a bus of school kids and they put them in a barn. Long story short, the ground started to fall down, right? Because it was dirt. And then the back of the bus fell down first. So it was sliding into the ground and it was 12 kids. And two of the kids says, not today. So they just charged to the front of the window and they smashed the window open and everyone else followed.
Not everyone.
Everyone followed.
Everyone followed.
No one died.
Okay.
But what happened was they, you know, there was psychiatrists and all kinds of stuff to find the kids. They follow them for years. This is
I think
one.
They did a follow up for 30 years.
Yeah, it was a long study.
Yeah, really long study.
And the two kids that took charge, they were pretty much fine after a couple of years. Of course, they had trauma from it, but the way forward in life, their health didn't affect them. But they followed the other ones and they were super affected because they took charge. That's the yang.
It's not the freeze.
No.
Because freeze is preparation for death.
Yeah.
So when we are operating from freeze, then something is happening in our bodies. So when we can take action, if we can allow ourselves to really work through whatever, if we can meet what happens with awareness, with, I think you were into something very, very interesting, because you can never heal the nervous system with punishment, shame, blame, force, stress, fear, any of the sensation that activates the nervous system. You can't have them involved in any type of healing. It just doesn't work. Shaming and guilting, I mean, there is, these emotions has a purpose and they do work because they are here to show us that maybe what I did wasn't the best. I need to adjust. Maybe I need a little bit of course correction. But as a healing modality, you can't shame someone into healing. So you have to be super kind to the nervous system and help it out of freeze. It's like motivating out of freeze, loving it out of freeze. But you also need to have a little bit of discernment. It's not, you need a lot of yin in the healing space. That's why it's so dominant. But the yang needs to be there, because it's what's going to guide us out of the situation.
You need both aspects,
yes,
pretty much, because a big part of shame is how you witness, right? Mm-hmm. Like something happened to me. I was going to do, like, I use myself, for example. I have a low pitched voice, but I have voice, I had vocal change, you know, when I was like 14 and 15.
No.
Yeah. And all my teachers, they just loved my voice. And, you know, I was a people pleaser. I wanted to do good for the teachers. So they're like, oh, Simba, can you read out loud? And my friends was like, they were like, you know, making fun of my voice. And I was like, oh, my God. I remember this one time I was reading something. I was convicted and my voice just changed. And I was so embarrassed and people were laughing. Even the teacher was laughing. So the shame came from, I felt embarrassed about something that happened to me and I was witnessed and treated in a certain way. So the witnessing is very important part of it. Therefore, when you're trying to teach someone or treat something or work with someone, depending on where you're at, you know, sometimes we need to push. I'm not going to shy away from that. But initially or as an overall strategy, you cannot use the same measurements because there's already this defense. There always is a disconnect there because you're witnessed in a certain way. So it's almost like you need to bring that. You don't need to relive the trauma, but connect to an essence of it and be witnessed in a different way with love and compassion. That's the yin way of clearing it. The yang way of clearing it is not getting stuck there and always looking for validation and the narration that I am a survivor of this and identifying myself with the trauma. That's the post-traumatic growth when actually, well, okay, I stand up and I do something different from there. And that's a big part, I think, of 3.0 as well. You know, not that we're going to be mean to people or to ourselves, but that we realize when the yin space is needed, you cannot use the yang just because you think it should go faster or you have another idea or you have whatever kind of background you have, because it simply doesn't work that way. And it doesn't matter. We can have all kinds of opinions. Don't have to believe in the nervous system. That's fine. But you do have one. And you will be affected by different approaches of people. I mean, that's just undeniable fact.
Yeah, you can't heal the trauma with more trauma.
No,
it just doesn't.
You cannot punish it.
No, you can't punish your way into healing or shame or blame someone into healing. It just doesn't work.
A firefighter doesn't show up to a fire with fire in the hose. I mean, it makes no sense. And I think that's also what we learned. You know?
It's the old paradigm. That's what we are realizing. It's the old paradigm. I mean, this is a much bigger discussion, but if you kind of look at, if you just, oh, what's in here? And you just do slight research. What does this, where does this energy come from? You know, it's, and then you go, oh, church. You know, it's the illusion of sin and punishment and that we are bad and that we are doing something wrong and that we have to fix ourselves and that we have to heal ourselves and that, you know, this humanity is kind of in an illusion of that we are all bad people because there's a lot of negativity going around and we do have both aspects in ourselves. But if we want to become better, if we want to become better people, if we want to become more abundant, if we want to have more joy, if we want to have more happiness, you have to be those things. You can't lead with punishment and judgment because it just, it's what you said. It's showing up to the fire with more fire in the hole. It just doesn't work.
My life story has been that way, you know. I grew up with traditional martial arts and I had good teachers, but they were still tough. It was still old school, right? It was, you do the work and like very young. And then I had moments of my life when I went into a lot of freeze, moments of my life when I went into overly yin, overly yang, back and forward. When I came to Thailand, it was really a reset of clearing a lot of that out. You know, one of the first teachers I said here was when I was doing like a deep talk said, stop exercising. It's just boosting your ego.
I like to remember that.
Oh. Ouch, you know, ooh. What do you mean ego? Look at these guns. They don't, you know, they don't grow on trees. You actually have to work for it. And I was so proud of it because I'd gone up early morning and eating these, you know, all kinds of weird stuff to get there. And I started to detox all of that chemicals and stuff out from all of these things. And I was still healthy, you know, like it wasn't unhealthy stuff. And then just realized what was it hiding? What was really behind all of that muscles, that training, that toughness? What was it that really wanted to come out? So I had to, you know, like the dying process, relax and burn to that core. And that's one of the things that got me interested into detoxes with one of the things that we work with that people say, is this really healthy? Yes, it is. But you have to look at it. you can't look at it as when I'm detoxing, I'm going to build my body up to be stronger. You're actually doing the opposite. You're stripping everything away to have a stable foundation. It's like you have a crooked house and you just pick it apart brick by brick, and then you build it up as a stable foundation. You're going to feel like shit when you do that. Mm-hmm. You are going to do it mentally, emotionally, physically. And that's what people say, is this healthy? Is this good?
Because it's hard.
Because it's hard and it doesn't feel good. But that's the same whether it's a detox with food, mental detox, emotional, nervous system. So I went into that. And then at some point in 2.0, halfway, let's say 2.2.5, maybe we say, you know, part of me was like, maybe I need more of the old school, you know, back into that super harshness again, you know. But something in me still was like, well, what about the nervous system part? You know, you kind of done a lot of work with this, and this is the missing key. Whatever you go, even you go to all of these fancy places, they know all of this stuff. The nervous system work is like the key that just unlocks that little thing. People that have been everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
So part of me was like, no, I mean, I can't let that go to go back to something that brought me all of this trauma to this point where I can actually open it up for myself and for others. It didn't make sense. So it was this big conflict inside of me. We finally got to the point where, you know, 3.0, where we are right here. No, we decide to really stick to that core and just do something differently, like new location, new setup, because something new happens, you know, something new needs to happen to go to the next level. Regardless of this event or this happened or this person,
no, it's not about, it doesn't matter. About that.
It's just circumstances.
It's life.
It's really like, what do I do when this calling comes and shows up and just pushes me? You know, it's like a balloon. Oh my God, it's gonna explode. No, you inflate a balloon, and then it comes back, and then it has another form, and then you can inflate it a bit more. But you want to do it mindfully. You cannot kick the edges of the balloon and go, oh my God, what happened? It burst. And that's what we mean. You cannot force the nervous system to heal. It has to gradually start to open and work. Because if it doesn't, you're just adding more of what put it there in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's what we're coming back to over and over again.
I mean, it's so
wherever
good,
we go.
Now,
yeah.
I mean, you could say that 1.0 was, I mean, in the beginning, you have, if you're completely new to healing and you have a lifetime of unhealthy living and, you know, Western mindset, and nobody really knows how trauma works, and nothing really happened. That's what I felt like. I don't understand why I feel this bad, because nothing really happened in my life. And then I learned about the nervous system, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, so normal life is traumatizing.
I had a great life.
No, but normal life is traumatizing. And I think a lot of people can resonate with us when we say it's been a lot the last couple of years, you know, ever since COVID, people have been, you know, there's a lot going on, and it's really transformative times. That's why it's been Dragon Year, and now it's the Year of Ascension, Year of the Truth, Year of Ascension, you know, Year of Truth and Ascension. If you're going to ascend, there has to be an energy that allows that ascension to happen. That is the challenge, the contraction. So we all have that, and it's been a lot over the last couple of years. But for us, and in the beginning, when you go at it, you have to break through a little bit of the shell, because there's a lot of defenses in the body. There's a lot of freeze. There's a lot of unhealthy toxins that you kind of need to detox out. So there's a resistance from the ego, because the body is in kind of protection mode, because it's not just sunshine and rainbows, you know, in the world. So we are a little bit protective. So in the beginning, you kind of have to have a little bit of yang to break through that. And that was true for us, and it's true for people that we work with too. The further you go into the process, the more subtle you are. in the beginning, people are having big realization, big breakthroughs, big emotions, but that kind of settles down. And then these yang tactics doesn't work anymore. So they are only helpful in the beginning or in certain situations where there's something specific that you need to break through, or if there's a resistance, but that needs to happen in unison with people. But then we went to 2.0, and then we went deep into the yin space. So there's a lot of yin, and there's a lot of like cushioning maybe ourselves, and I mean, for some reason these situations happened to us because we were invited to go to the next level. So I feel like now with 3.0, it was way to the one side and then way to the other side. And now we're kind of balancing in the middle because we are also inviting in more yang energy again. And the yang energy comes in the colors of determination, clarity in the voice, knowing, trusting, action, discernment, and also back to a little bit of the more yang practices. We have been doing a lot of internal healing and a lot of yin practices, and now it's back to the yang practices. So it's in one way it's more yin, because we really know that the pushing and the striving, it's not really congruent. So it needs to be a balance. And I feel like that's what we achieved from the situation. And it's not even about a situation, it's just life. We're just not connected to the story in that sense.
Because that's the same as the trauma.
Yeah. You know?
Like if you identify your process, your whereabouts in life to one event, one person, one interaction with a person, per definition means that you haven't solved it.
Yeah.
You're still there. And if you're looking to grow to the next level, resolving expansion, there is, I don't like to say need, because that implies that you have to do something, and you don't have to do anything. Everything's
you don't have
a choice.
To do anything.
But there's a price. There's an entrance fee to a nightclub. There's an entrance fee to taking a flight somewhere to the other side of the world. You might not like it, but that's the way it is, right? And that's the same. Like if you want to go to another level, there is a change that is calling you. Like it's calling you. And if you answer and address that change, then you can go to somewhere else. That's the same as you go to the gym. You don't just go to the gym and lift a weight once and you have muscles. No,
you lift and it's painful.
Yeah. you literally break your body down. And what does the body say? Oh my God, we need to build ourselves stronger. That's what happens. That's how your muscles grow. Yeah. And the same with your mind and so on. But you cannot just do the yang practice. You have to have the yin too. But you have to realize, for you to go to another level, you need to let go of something.
Yeah.
You need to become lighter and lighter so you can ascend. And the heavier you are, the more unprocessed stuff you have inside of you, that's the level where we usually feel like nothing has happened and I feel stuck and I keep on doing this freaking trauma work and holy and whatever, and nothing happens, because there's something there that's waiting to come out. And if I look at a release, the way that I used to talk about it, you know, it was big a couple of years ago, releasing, breathwork releasing, somatic releasing, and all of these things.
But there's a time for that.
There's a time for it, but the biggest releases are not kicking and screaming, actually. The kicking and screaming is being witnessed and held in expression that you couldn't do.
Mm.
Of course, that could be a release and that you stand up for yourself, really. But if you look at a release, I don't really believe it has to be cathartic. Sometimes you need to. Sometimes it needs to get that energy out there for the body to feel it can defend itself.
I mean, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
Either it is or it isn't.
But if you're looking for a release, then you're leaving something behind, right? Mm. if you keep on doing it again and again and say it's a release, I say it's a coping mechanism or it's a trauma.
I mean, it's a, I mean, it's a, what do you call it? It's like you're flooding the, it's, you're reliving the, you're not releasing, you're just re-traumatizing the body by experiencing it again and again and again. And to be fully able to release something and let go, you have to drop the story. You have to drop whatever ideas you had about the story. It's the only thing that is going to move us forward in life after any kind of challenge or situation. It's forgiveness, grace, love, understanding, and a willingness to move forward. If you don't have that, then we're going to some way stay and hold on to that energy. And if you are about growth and the future and happiness and want to create something beautiful and abundance, the only way to get that is to leave whatever was left in the past and move on and not hold on to any grudges or any like me, this kind of, because if you have that energy still left, then you are living in the past. And I feel what's left in me after this year is my willingness to move forward, my true willingness to have a lived experience. And I'm so grateful that all of this is happening to us because it's such a beautiful learning process. And I want to teach from lived experience. I don't want to teach from a theory. I want to be able to lead people through very difficult situations or transitions and help women to really come back to the body, to find the key so that you can withstand any fire, because we have that ability. And this process has showed me that, and it has showed me what I'm capable of and what you are capable of and what we are capable of. And teaching from a lived experience is, I mean, I can't have a bigger gratitude for my process. And since I have a lot of ambition, I can't be mad or surprised if life is happening. Okay. Comments. Oh my God, I need to move forward, not holding on to farts.
Exactly. Farts. Exactly. That's how you get sick.
That's loved it. That's how you get sick.
Get it out.
Don't hold on. I mean, we're not supposed to hold on to anything that is not meant for us. And when life brings you lemons, make lemonade. No, but it's so true. And when
some sugar. I'm sorry, that's my bad sense of humor.
No, it's okay to want sugar in your lemonade. It takes the edge off.
Yeah.
Right? But I mean, someone's told me, because I've been, I mean, someone told me not too long ago, is that life will start sending you, well, life will keep sending you challenges until you become a person that says, what else are you going to bring me? Doesn't matter what you bring me. It doesn't matter what fire you're going to put me through, because I can do it. I'm not afraid of strong emotions. I'm not afraid of uncertainty. I'm not afraid of challenging times, because challenging times means, oh, opportunity for growth. And since I'm asking for growth, I can't really, you know, open the door like, not that one. It doesn't work that big, because if I send that one away, I'm going to get another one that is much bigger, stronger, and more uncomfortable. So the quicker we can kind of go, okay, because we can't really decide whether they are going to come either. Because, and it's not shameful to end up in difficult situations. That's not what it's about. I don't feel shame for sharing that we've been through a difficult time. That's honesty for me. That is sharing our life experience and not pretending that we're above anyone else, or pretending that life is about, oh, you that, and they lived happily ever after illusion. You know, we're taught that.
Blue zone.
Yeah, that's a blue zone. Like one day it's going to all be good. And then, you know, that's something else, you know, because we don't know what life has around the corner. And if we're hiding from life, then we are avoiding life. And that is also a type of blue zone. And if I'm sitting here saying that I want to live my full potential, that I want to grow in and expand into the best that I can be, whatever that is, because there's no such thing as perfection, doesn't exist. And I don't want to be perfect, because that it's perfect is boring. There's just no such thing, because especially being in the feminine energy, we are very dynamic. We can be one thing one day and another emotion in 10 minutes. And you know, life is really happening through us, and we are experiencing everything. And what groundedness really means is I'm able to handle life. I'm able to participate in my own life fully. And there was one person said to me, I said, do we really need to understand what happens to us when we do trauma work and healing work? Do we have to understand what happens? And the response was, how else are you going to get the full experience? And that's what it is. It's having the full experience of life. And that is included positive emotion and negative emotion. There is no other way. It's not how this planet works, unfortunately. Unfortunately, it just is what it is. It's duality to the max. It's sadness, it's longing, it's confusion, it's abandonment, it's, you know, separation, it's, you know, am I going to find the love of my life? I mean, it's everything with the relationships and the back and forth, and that is life. But when I work through my nervous system, I can participate fully in my life experience. And isn't that what it's all about? If I'm hiding in the free zone, saying, I can't, because that's what it is. No, 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 no. That means I can't handle this. This is too much. Personally, I want to be able to feel, bring it on, give me more, because this is an experience. Because once I'm not afraid of the challenges, then it's only going to be growth. And there's a completely different aspect. And I believe the person who said, once you truly believe in your soul, and that means once it's integrated in the nervous system, that you can hold whatever comes, nothing comes. I'm certain.
You don't invite it in anymore.
No, you don't invite it in anymore.
It's so silly. It's so silly, and it's really that dance of magnetism and polarities and whatever you want to call it. It's not about not being afraid. It's not about, you know, diehard attitude or anything like that. But once you work through your fears, once you start to work through the traumas, they are an invitation for growth. And saying that, people might get really upset. You don't know what happened to me when I was young. That's horrible. I'm sorry. It's not your fault. It's not.
And it shouldn't have happened.
It should never have happened. But it did happen.
Yep.
So what we're talking about is not responsibility for what happened when you maybe not even be cognitive at an age where you can't handle it, but the accountability. This did happen. What do you choose to do from here moving forward? That's the yang aspect.
Yeah.
There's still a yin in it, an understanding for trauma and the nervous system and the awareness. But there comes to a point, even in that, where it starts to split the field, where you can see today, where the spiritual part, you could say, I guess, or, you know, looking at belief system, there is something in you that decides, what am I going to do with this? Okay, all of this stuff happened. Like, if I look at the nervous system work, my work is to teach people not to feel ashamed about themselves, others, what happened, understand why things happen, the nervous system, and get to the point where they can make a choice. When you're in a trauma loop, you cannot many times because you're not there, your nervous system is not there. That's when you need a yin space. That's when you need that space to be witnessed, to be held. But you're not supposed to be there. That's like living at your parents' house and getting food every day. You know, you're going to need to, at some point, grow up and stand in your own, you know, power, in your own leadership. And that's the post-traumatic growth. And when you start to look at trauma from that point of view, even evolutionary, it's there to bring us forward. It's there to call us to grow into something new. We don't blame, shame, or guilt, or this or that, or better, or 5 years, or half a year. It doesn't matter. Everyone has their life path. But it is ultimately a calling for growth when you start to learn about the post-traumatic growth. I wouldn't have started this journey if I didn't have one of the most wicked traumas, which I won't even go into. But that happened to me. That's how I winded up in Thailand from the first place. And when I look at it at that time, I was borderline suicidal. I was not in a good place. And I look at it today and I'm saying, wow, what a gift. What a gift that this happened that propelled me out of my belief system, out of my ways, into doing something completely different, and how I found my passion and purpose in it. But at the time, if someone told me that, I don't know if I would have taken it like that. I don't know if I would have understood it like that. That's why we need to get to the point where you can move forward. And that, I believe, is very hard to do without the nervous system work. And that's what we're coming back to. Even if we go into 3.0 and doing something else, we keep that DNA, we keep that core, because that's the missing key. That's the missing link to most things that we have seen everywhere.
I mean, we're doing something new, but we're also not doing something new. We're doing something new in the sense that we're doing it from a completely different energy, but the work is the same, but it's deeper. And I can also feel that it's a big shift, because when we started this, you know, almost 10 years ago, we got messages. People thought we were joining a cult. What we were doing, people didn't do at all back home where we come from. And over the years, that has completely shifted. I mean, nervous system work is super trending. No one is arguing about how the nervous system works. It's becoming second nature now. I was talking about this earlier today, that the society has completely shifted. When you talk about stress, everyone knows about meditation and grounding in the nervous system. And, you know, in Sweden, you get exercise on as prescription from the doctor. You know, I mean, if that isn't a big thing, you know, there is scientifically proven, and it's really merging, and this ancient 1,000 years of knowledge that the body is the key, the body is the gateway, the body is the healer, the body is the self-healer, the body is the antenna. I mean, all of these things are becoming very, you know, mainstream now. So, and the discussion that I'm noticing also is that people are starting to realize that people are hiding behind their nervous systems. So they are hiding in the yin space without taking the accountability, because there's no way you can blame because most of the stuff is happening in our childhood. Most problems comes from the childhood. And the child is not to blame. the child is not to blame. And when you go deeper into the aspects of victim and perpetrator and abuser, you also realize on a spiritual level, there is no good or bad. There's abusers and there's victims, and there's a victim mentality and there's abuser mentality, and they are both can be equally dangerous for you and equally limiting in the healing process. So it's about duality, and that's where the universal law comes in, which is very interesting because it has an effect on everything that we do. It needs to be balanced. And the duality is an illusion because there's unity. And then if there's unity, there is no victim, there's no abuser, because we will be both. In life, we will be both. Some may be more than others, but there's always a balance. But with that said, you can't blame the child, but there's accountability for the adult. So even if I'm not to blame with what I've been through, I'm the only one who can take accountability. I'm the only one who can decide that it's enough. I want something else for myself. I don't want to live like this anymore. There has to be something else, and I'm willing to find it. And we have to go through the fire to get that. You have to go outside of your comfort zone and look at all of these things. That's where the yang needs to come in. So there needs to be yin in the healing, but the mentality and the attitude of oneself needs to be, I want to go somewhere. I want to create something for myself. And if we believe that we can't, that's blue zone. That's a nervous system response to the life that you've been living up until this point. So the only person who can get you out of that is yourself. And to get that, you need to have a little bit of yang. There needs to be a little bit of fire to do that. And it needs to be a little bit of, you know, willingness to live, so to speak.
Yeah, and the nervous system work, what it really does, if you boil it down to one question, is what if? That's really what it comes down to. What if? What if the way you're looking at this or this person or yourself or this emotion or this interaction, whatever, what if? And then you fill in whatever you want after that. That's really the ability that the nervous system work gives you. And if you look at that, if you can change the way you look at things, then maybe there isn't a problem where you think there is a problem. But if you think there is a problem and you go to every expert and everywhere in the world and this modality and this and this and that, then you can realize why the nervous system is the missing link. Because if you can go, what if, I actually don't need to change this. I actually don't need to fix this. And you just, it's like the dog running after the car. Ruff, 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 and the car stops and he goes, ruff. Now what? What am I chasing? What if? And that's really the power that the nervous system work gives you. That's why we kind of come back to it again and again. It's like, well, if you're driven by something, that's never going to be satiated, always going to be hungry, always going to be thirsty, always going to be looking for something. And it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you practice, what you do. You will never find that place because that place is already here. So coming back to that question in the nervous system, is really the DNA in everything we do, then we have other things that we do as well. But if you don't start from there, I personally, and I mean, I can't speak for you, but guessing the years we've been here, it's very hard to make a real change if you don't change where you're coming from, the driving force in the first place. And that's what a detox, for instance, might do for you. You just strip everything down to the bare minimum and see what's there. That's why it is so hard. That's why it's so uncomfortable. That's why, is this really healthy?
I mean,
yes, it is, but it's not pleasant.
No, but I mean, going to a retreat and doing a detox and doing all this work, it is the same way as inviting the challenge, is inviting the contraction, because you know you need it. We don't go to retreats, so you know, the universe had to figure out another way to for us to grow, which worked. So I'm very grateful for that. But that's what the retreats are all about. I'm also realizing that we've been talking for a long time.
We have. Yeah, we might be at the end
we
of
need
this.
We need to continue this on a weekly basis, I guess.
Yeah.
But the point of the story is life is going to happen whether you want it or not, unless you choose to opt out, which I hope you don't, because that's not the point. The point is to participate fully. And it happens to everyone. And the quicker we can not make that too big of a deal and come back to our center and come back to our purpose and grow from the circumstances, roll with the punches. Once you can get to a point where you roll with the punches, life is going to become very, very different. So what we are going to do, Spirit 3.0, is we're teaching people to roll with the punches. I feel very confident in my own life experience, what level I can bring people through. I was very confident before, but this is next level. So understanding that there's nothing really that you can't get through. If you have the right tools, if you have the right mindset, if you have the right training, you know, it's like you go to boot camp yourself, and then it's like you get good at life. So what are we doing? Yeah, we're lifing. Getting good at life. Yeah. Because then there's nothing you can't do. And I mean, this is a completely different topic, but I just want to sum everything up and understanding that all the manifestation research and studying and practicing and all of this, it's hand in hand with the nervous system work and what we're doing and the way of navigating. It just fits. So we're scaling off anything that isn't this perfect fit. And that is the nervous system work, the somatic work, the belief system work, all the core practice that we've been doing.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of fun things coming up.
Yeah. And I mean,
we're revamping the retreats.
Revamping the retreats, and we have different lengths for people. Before, we had like a signature 3 weeks. Now we have, you know, day retreats, 3 day. We have the signature retreat still, but we kind of changed them to fit a modern person with all the demands and things they do. And we realized people might want to start in different, you know, people have different starting points and they might need different things. They have different needs coming into retreats. And this place is wonderful for that. It's very serene. You know, you have the mountains here and nature. So it's still very lushy and just like the farm, a very serene place to grow and relax and do this kind of deep work.
Yeah, so the core of the retreats are still going to be here, but they're going to look a little bit different because you can design it exactly how you need it. You can come, as Simba said, for a day retreat. If that's what if you're in Chiang Mai for 2 days and you want to come see us, you can. And that hasn't been available until now. You can come for a weekend, you can come for a week, you can come for 3 weeks, and you can kind of mix and match. You can have a deep detox, you can have a light detox. It's very, very highly individualized. So we can really pinpoint, we can make a contraction just for you.
And I mean, we're going to continue this podcast, but we're also going to have a weekly or monthly different topics of classes that you can actually try these different modalities that we're talking about through our online group program called The Wellspring.
Yeah, we used to have a program that was group classes, but it wasn't as available. So I'm not sure if everyone has heard of it, but we revamped that because we are offering somatic and nervous system classes and sessions on a weekly basis. And Simba is hosting fascia unwinding, breath work, EFT, and his own new modality that he's launching together with founder of TRE, Dr. David Buscelli. So Simba is launching his own next level version of TRE called Internal Alchemy. So you will be teaching that as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's the in the family of TRE, definitely. It's going to be really fun. It's a compilation of kind of what we've been talking about here the last hour or so, with all the combined experiences and practices in the nervous system definitely being a central focal point for this.
And new for this season is that I'm stepping in and doing sessions in Wellspring as well. So I will be hosting 3 sessions per month too. And I will be launching my own modality as well. But it's the deeper nervous system and shadow work. It's descending into the feminine body. And it's about awakening the life force and the Kundalini energy. And I call it Phoenix Rising because it's the serpent energy, it's the fire, it's the life force, and it's about learning how to alchemize, move out of freeze, and get better at life and really connect with the feminine body, because that's the next level grounding that really shifted my life the last year. I did a certification training for a year-long training, and a lot of that work has guided me through what we've been through. So it's next level practice, and I will also be hosting flow writing and live energetics. So it's going to be an exciting fall. Wellspring is launching July 8th. And you can come for drop-in, you can sign up for a monthly subscription or a 3-month subscription. And if you want to know anything about that, just let us know. We're going to share more in our newsletters, on social media, and everywhere. So do not fear, you will be notified. But if you want to know what we're doing, if you want to come for a retreat, or if you just want to have a personal setup, or if you want to know more about the Wellspring, just reach out, DM us on any social platform, and we will tell you all about it. And the podcast will show up next week as well.
You will?
Yep. And we're going to go deeper into various amount of different topics, but it's going to be very deeply connected to our core, and it's going to be very practical.
And fun.
What is it if we don't have fun?
Really, you know, that's a big part of it. It's not about just throwing responsibility away, but, you know, enjoying the things that are there. And I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. And I mean, challenges happen, but the reason why we invite them is because we want to reach a point where life is better. But it's not about avoiding the difficulties. So we're not all about rolling around in the difficulties. We're here to feel good. That's the whole point.
That is the whole point.
Okay. Thank you so much. Long episode, long first episode.
Yeah, I think it was, energy was flowing. So we just went with it.
Yep. Okay. Sending you lots of love and see you on the other side, and stay strong and don't shy away from challenges. Realize that they will change your life if you let them.
And please share if
share.
If you saw this, if you like this, please share how this affect you. Subscribe and follow us if you saw us on any platform and you can see more material like this. And just, you know, if there's a question you want, you can always ask us as well. It's always nice to get prompts from people. Really juicy stuff.
Yep.
I've been having this and this going on. Okay, let's bring it up and we can talk about it.
Yep. Okay. Lots of love, everyone.
Love.
See you soon.